It's 9 after 6 on Wednesday, June 11th. Good morning. John Munson in for Joy Cardine this week on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're going to talk about the aftermath of last weekend's storms in Wisconsin, specifically the economic impact of the storm damage. We'll talk to reporters who covered the story. We'll also talk with a prominent figure in the tourism industry in Wisconsin, and we'll welcome a guest from the state government to talk about the impact of all this rain on agriculture here in Wisconsin. We'll begin with Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Shemaine Mills. Shemaine covered the Lake Delton disaster for Wisconsin Public Radio, and she joins us by phone. Good morning, Shemaine.
Hello, John.
Well, thanks for getting up a little bit early to talk to us this morning.
I appreciate it.
So help us understand, let's start with Lake Delton. How did a lake just disappear?
A lot of people are wondering the same thing. I talked to a longtime resident who grew up alongside the lake, and she said, we never thought it could happen. And the way it did is basically too much water, more than the lake could hold. Now, the dam itself did hold, something officials want to stress. However, the North Shore just broke away. There was so much water that it took out a county road, County Road A, which was impassable, took out a sewer line. They had to stop the power lines for a while. And the lake is dry at this moment. There's a little water trickling in from the storm sewer, but it's empty. It's mud and sand.
Wow. That's, it's kind of incredible. I guess we shouldn't be surprised at what Mother Nature can cook up for us, but, you don't expect to see a whole lake disappear. How are the people who lived along the lake coping? Have you've talked to some of the people around there? What are they saying?
A lot of the longtime residents who grew up with the lake are really devastated because this was integral to the community's identity. After all, it's its namesake. It's Lake Delton. I talked to a gentleman who owns Denny's Diner, and he'd been there 22 years. He was quite proud of the fact, and he's like, oh, yeah, I used to swim across that river when I was growing up. Well, then, it became really heavy with boats, and you didn't want to swim across it anymore. But it was the heart and soul of the community, and they're taking it hard. And that's not even to mention the property damage or the financial aspect.
Well, three homes were washed away, and others were damaged. I don't suppose we have any idea yet of a dollar figure on what all that damage is worth.
Well, FEMA, Federal Emergency Management officials, are going to come in to assess the whole area, not just Lake Delton, and when I say whole area, I mean Sauk County, tomorrow. But local officials say as of yesterday, their preliminary assessment was $5 million. And they said, we're still getting calls, the water's still rising, and so is the property damage. So we expect it to be much higher.
Well, and there's a little bit more rain in the forecast, so we're not necessarily out of this yet.
Right, and officials acknowledged that yesterday in Sauk County. They are hoping, as we all are, that it will be minimal. The prediction is for not a lot of rain, certainly not as heavy as we got, but we all know it's forecasting, it's predicting.
Well, it looks from the news reports as though, and we'll talk with Tom Deal later in this hour about these aspects of it, but it looks like a lot of the attractions and things that were connected to Lake Delton are going to go forward. What will be missing will be the water ski show, but this whole thing still has to have an impact on how people coming to that area view this as a tourist area now.
Yeah, it was phenomenal yesterday. I was at a small resort. They only had eight lakeside cottages. Six had already canceled. Now, there were a couple people there, and I chatted with them. And it was quite odd to see a mother and her daughter sunbathing on a beach that wasn't beside water. I mean, they were sunbathing next to mud and stumps and dead fish. And they were in good mood about it. They actually came here, and by here I mean Lake Delton, before the storms, they saw the flooding, and then they saw the lake disappear, all in a couple of hours.
Wow, that must have been an incredible experience.
Yeah, and of course, the the older people, I think they had a grasp of the magnitude and the force of nature. However, the young daughter, she was 12. I said, well, what are you going to do now? And she said, well, there's an indoor pool. So they're making the best of it. And I talked with another family. They were from Waukegan, Illinois. He and his wife had brought up their three children to see the water ski show, unaware of the situation. And I said, well, what alternate plans do you have? And he said, well, we're going to some of Tommy Bartlett's other shows, the stage and air shows, and we're doing a lot of indoor pool swimming.
Well, in the water parks, and I forget how many of them there are in Wisconsin Dells, those are still open. And my understanding is that some of the Tommy Bartlett attractions, they'll be moving on shore, and the only thing missing will be the actual water ski show. So there's right. still stuff going on. And we're going to talk with Tom Deal on the other side of our weather break and find out exactly what's happening up there as far as the tourism is concerned. Anything else you want to add here this morning before we let you go?
Really unbelievable, the devastation. I talked to one woman, though, who said, you know, we're lucky, no lives were lost. And when you see how much water gushed out and how it took out homes, it is pretty incredible. But like you said, there's still more rain to come, so everyone's keeping an eye out. The officials are checking both bridges and dams just to make sure that they're strong enough.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on it, and we'll listen for your reports on Wisconsin Public Radio. Chemaine, thank you.
Thank you.
Chemaine Mills, a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter. We're going to take a break and get the weather forecast, find out what's going on, and then when we come back, we'll talk with Tom Deal and find out from his perspective how things are up in the Wisconsin Dells area. I'm John Munson. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 18 minutes after 6 o'clock, you're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Joy Cardine this week. Here's what's coming up a little bit later on the Ideas Network. At issue with Ben Marins after 4, Ben and a political scientist Joe Heim talk about the presidential race and discuss why Hillary Clinton won't be heading the Democratic ticket. That's coming up after 4 this afternoon with Ben Marins on At Issue. Well, the issue this hour is the aftermath of the storms that hit Wisconsin over the weekend and dumped many inches of rain, causing widespread flooding, devastation. Lake Delton disappeared overnight, or just a few hours. And now we're taking a look at what's happening after that, the cleanup, the recovery, what the costs are, and how we'll continue to do business in Wisconsin, agriculturally, in terms of tourism and so forth, this hour. And we'll talk about agriculture after the 6:30 news. This hour, we're focused on, in this half hour, we're focusing a little bit on what happened in the Lake Delton area. My next guest is Tom Deal, owner and general manager of Tommy Bartlett Incorporated and a Village of Lake Delton trustee. He joins us by phone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, but I didn't watch my lake drain away. So
pretty traumatic to watch it happen. No question about it.
Boy, I guess my sympathies on that. What is the situation at Lake Delton this morning?
Well, we're working on two fronts. Let's start with the village. After the collapse of the 35-foot high banks on the Wisconsin River and creep back to the lake and opened up that wide breach, which then ultimately drained the lake. It took Highway Trunk A, all the utilities, water, sewer, phone lines, gas lines, everything with it. And so the village's first order of business was to try to restore the services. We didn't want sewage leaking into the river. And so we completed with Allen Steel Company here in Lake Delton. We suspended a huge steel cable across the breach and then attached a temporary sewer line to it and put a temporary lift station in so that we could pump the sewage across the breach and get it to the sewage treatment plant. So that was number one. Number two was to immediately repair all the damage around the main lift station for the village, which pumps all the sewage in the village to to the sewage treatment plant underneath the riverbed. That was heavily damaged around it as the bypass around the dam went through there and eroded, you know, caverns 10, 15 feet deep. Luckily, the sewage, the lift station remained intact. So those are the things that we've immediately been working on. Starting yesterday afternoon, we had contractors in the bottom of the lake building small little coffer dams to divert the Mirror Lake water, which continues to come into the lake, from going through the breach and to the river and diverting it back over to the dam where it's supposed to be. So that's taking place now. Once that is done, we will the erosion of the lake bottom into the Wisconsin River will stop. Yesterday we had meetings with Department of Natural Resource and Transportation secretaries and Columbia County people, all the emergency management teams to try to coordinate the effort of how we're going to approach getting Highway Trunk A rebuilt and, you know, how we're going to contain the water in Lake Delton. So those will be the ongoing programs with the village. The rest of our infrastructure is totally 100% functional, so all of Lake Delton is open for business, including the resorts around the lake. It's hopefully their customers will continue to come and support them, and especially in their time of need. By staying at their properties, certainly they can stay there and enjoy all the attractions and activities in the Dells. They just won't be able to enjoy the use of the lake. So those people are in dire straits, just as we are here at the Tommy Bartlett Show, and they need all the support from our customers as possible, because this is just an absolutely devastating economic impact for their businesses, which are basically open from Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Well, what about refilling the lake or getting it back to the way it was? Is that possible, and how long would that take?
Oh, it's not only possible, it's going to happen. You can't build the Highway A back up until you get this solved. So it's going to the engineers are working on the best design possible to rebuild the road and make sure that this never happens again. But it's going to take some time. But we're certainly focused on the long-term solution, and I guarantee we'll have water in Lake Delton long before next summer.
How are the people in the village coping with this disaster?
I think that they're doing very well. We meet every single day at 10 o'clock in the morning to assess where we have been and where we're going. Certainly, the unbelievable cooperation that we have that we've received from all agencies. I mean, this is so overwhelming that it crosses so many parts of state government, and Governor Doyle's taken the leadership to try to make sure that the coordination is as seamless as possible. So, we're headed in the right direction. We've taken care of all the immediate concerns of, you know, public safety and making sure that the rest of the village, which has, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of hotel rooms and attractions, to make sure that everything is stabilized, and we have done that.
And of course, all the water parks there are still open. So
yeah,
you know,
everything in Wisconsin Dells and Lake Delton is open. The only thing that was affected were the businesses whose commerce is around this 254 acre lake, which is now totally dry.
I understand that that the Tommy Bartlett shows are going on shore, minus the water skiers, but you'll still have those shows going this summer.
Yeah, we have been down. We've been closed Saturday and Sunday because of high water, and of course Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday because of no water. And we have just had an outpouring from our past acts that have performed at the show, and Dieter Tasso and Wes Harrison, who performed here for many years, have offered to come back and help us. get started. And so we'll open Thursday with a 90-minute show. That's what we've always had, as a 90-minute show, but this will be the first time in our 55-year history that the mainstay of the show, the water ski show, won't be there. And one thing that we can guarantee the public is that the Tommy Bartlett Show will be a high-quality, family-oriented, clean, wholesome show, just like it's always been. And it just is going to be without the traditional skiing for this summer. We again certainly hope that people will support us during this very difficult time, so that we can hopefully get back on our feet and continue presenting ski shows in the 2009 season. But I don't want to underestimate how difficult this is going to be.
Well, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, this is a huge undertaking. I would imagine that the State Department of Tourism is involved in helping to make sure that we continue to capture those tourist dollars in the Dells area.
Well, you know, one of the being in the broadcast business, you know how rumors can run rampant. I just got a call at 5:30 this morning that the talk show in Chicago was saying the Tommy Bartlett Show was closed for the whole season. And that's the type of negative publicity that this area doesn't need. 90% of commerce in the Dells is unaffected by what happened at the lake. And there is so much to do in Wisconsin Dells, and that's what's made us what we are today, is the diversity of the product. And so we need to dispel as much of the rumor and the innuendos as possible as a community, and certainly we're working diligently with our Visitor and Convention Bureau, and Secretary Trumbull has her team getting the word out that though there has been an absolute disaster in the Lake Delton itself, the rest of the area was unaffected, and we certainly need our visitors to continue coming, but I certainly don't want to underestimate the economic damage that's going to take place on all the businesses that utilized Lake Delton. You know, there's a lot of mom and pop lake resorts that have been in families for years that have repeat customers, and I only hope their customers will support them and continue to come back. And we're going to, as a community, work with all those properties to provide them with whatever they need to attract their customer and then have them be involved with the tourism attractions that are in the area. And, you know, it's so early. We're just trying to get our head above water, no pun intended.
Well, yeah. And I understand you've been up the last three nights, so you probably could use a little shut-eye.
Yeah, there's only been about 4 hours sleep since we stayed up all night Sunday doing the sandbagging at the dam.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, and we'll keep our fingers crossed for a little bit drier remainder of the month of June and get things going again.
Thank you very much, John. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk with your listeners, and just say that the Wisconsin Dells has been in the tourism business for 150 years, and we're going to continue to be it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Yeah, bye-bye.
It's 6:35. John Munson in for Joy Cardine this week on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, in this first hour today, we're talking about the aftermath of storms and heavy rains that hit Wisconsin last weekend, and we've already heard about what happened at Lake Delton. And in this half hour, we're going to turn our attention to other areas and other types of storm damage. Tourism isn't the only industry that was affected by the storms and heavy rain of last weekend. There were many acres of cropland that are now underwater. As you heard Steve Roysom's report just moments ago, farmers in southwestern Wisconsin are having to make a decision of whether or not to replant those flooded fields, and if they're going to replant, what they're going to put in. So coming up this half hour, we're going to talk with a couple of people about just that, what the impact is on agriculture in Wisconsin, and you know, what's going to happen with these farmers, what kind of assistance they can expect from the state and federal government, and what the situation is as far as replanting crops and so forth. So we're going to do that. Let me give you the phone numbers. We want to try and take some calls this half hour. We didn't get to any in the previous half hour. We'll try and get some people in if you'd like to talk about any of these issues. 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number. 800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. The email is talk@wpr.org. We have joining us by phone from La Crosse, Steve Roysom, who's one of our reporters over there. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking time to talk to us this morning. Steve, first of all, what's the situation with I understand there are some dams in your area that they're taking a look at. What's the latest on that?
Well, the latest one is, I believe there's about three or four that they continue to watch. Over in Vernon County, which probably has the most dams of any counties in Wisconsin, they're monitoring 13 of the dams, or at least they were like a day ago, and the county is over 20.
So what kind of shape are they in?
Well, it would appear everybody's holding up. There's no major concerns. There are some signs in some of the dams, not just in Vernon County, but outside, of minor leakage and such that could potentially be something or not. And some of these dams that are seeing some problems, records show, have not really been looked at, inspected for well over 10 years.
So I understand you've talked with some of the residents who live downstream from some of these dams. What have they had to say?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. I talked to, what really kind of surprised me was, I went underneath one of the dams. I was in a dam evacuation area. And so I went out to check out one of the dams, and I drove by, and here comes an elderly lady going out and just kind of getting her mail like you would any other day. And so I stopped by and talked to her and said, "Are you nervous living underneath the dam?" Yes, well, it's a cause of concern. She had been evacuated the night before, her and her two grandsons. But as she said, it's hard to entertain the grandsons at the motel, so she came back to check out what the damage was. She received some flooding in the area of her house, a good amount on both sides of her driveway, and then across kind of a gravel road, there's the mailbox, and she has more property beyond there, no more than an acre. I said, you know, how does flooding this time compared to, say, last year? She says, it's worse. Because, you know, we've seen damage on both sides of the driveway and such, but there's a lot more standing water now, and this acre that's behind her mailbox, and it's unproduced acreage, it's just pretty much an extended ditch, there is a fair amount of water sitting over there as well.
Well, you're coming off a pretty, there was flooding last year. Had you even really dried out from that?
There is talk that, well, pretty much no. some of them, like, you know, Gay's Mills and such, we're just getting some planning developed to avoid flood events in the future. And then 10 months after the first flood, they get whacked again.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about agriculture. Lots of farmland underwater in southwestern Wisconsin, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Quite a bit.
And what are the farmers there saying?
Well, I didn't talk to didn't get a chance to talk to farmers, but I did talk to an Iowa County Extension agent, and she echoed concerns that Rod Nielsen said, the head ag guy in Wisconsin. I don't remember exactly what his business card says. That there are areas of the fields that, well, keep in mind, we the planted in the fields were at least 2 weeks late due to our lovely, long, prolific winter. And then the cold spring, and so, you know, crops were planted 2-3 weeks late. And now here we go, not so much long after being planted, we have floods.
So, well, that's right. I forgot you guys, because I live in northern Wisconsin, where we didn't get as much snow this winter, I forgot that there was a ton of snow down here. So a lot of water in the spring, plus the flooding last year.
Right.
So late getting into the field now. So what are the options for local farmers?
Well, the options are to call it a loss. You know, they could still harvest the corn later and use it for silage. There is the possibility of replanting, especially for farmers who count on producing the food that will feed their animals. And the thing about it is right now, you know, some of the crops, like the corn crops, it's about 2 inches above ground. And in areas, many areas, the water is higher than that. So the question is, do you replant? And I talked to the Iowa County Extension agent. She says that is an option to replant at this late stage. But chances are the resulting yields, they could lose 40-50% of the crops they replant.
Well, for sure you're not going to have corn that's knee-high by the 4th of July.
No.
It's really too soon to even ask this question, but I'll ask it anyway because it's on my list. Has there been any even preliminary assessment of what this damage is worth in dollars?
In Vernon County, various reports in the media said it was around $60 million. But I called the source of this number, and she said, I don't know where they got that number. We haven't talked to anybody. So a little lesson on, you know, how much weight you should give some of these reports. And she says, I talked to the emergency management director here in Vernon County, and he has no clue where they came from that number, came up with that number as well. Last year, if memory serves me, I'm not 100% sure on this, I believe it was in the neighborhood of about $14 million, which is plenty, given that Vernon County, you know, you have Lafarge Organic Valley and you know, Viroqua as well, but mostly it's poor rural communities. And it'll be interesting to see how they're going to try to recover out of this one.
Well, FEMA is on the ground in the state and doing their thing. I know that the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, I believe that's the department that Rod Nilsestoon is the head of.
Thank you.
They're doing their assessment. And, in fact, we're going to be talking with Donna Gilson, who's a spokesman for that department, in a few minutes here. So we should be getting some numbers shortly, but the main thing is, I guess, we have to kind of wait until things dry out to really see what's left.
Exactly.
As a reporter covering this story, what has been the mood of the people that you've talked to? How are they holding up under this disaster?
Surprisingly, pretty well. I stopped by three different homes and driving around like a rural Viola. And one person I talked to, he received flood in the basement, but he lives on the side of a hill. And the water came down and got into the septic system, and now he's going to have to do repairs for the second time in 10 months. He's frustrated, but he had an attitude, you know, it could have been worse.
Well, there was no loss of life.
No loss of life, as far as we know. A boater was found in Columbia County, and no major injuries. Luckily.
Well, so there's a silver lining in this cloud, and speaking of which, a little more rain on the way, I guess. Hopefully not a lot more, and let's hope we can get through this and out the other side without any more damage. Steve, thanks for your time. I know you have to go and get back to your news job, but I appreciate you spending this time with us this morning.
My pleasure.
Steve Roysom, Wisconsin Public Radio reporter based in La Crosse. We're going to take a break and check the weather, which includes some rain for southern Wisconsin, and we'll find out what things are like in your neck of the woods, and then we'll come back and we'll talk with Donna Gilson, a spokesperson for the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. If you want to get in on this, talk about your experience with the high water and the storms, why don't you give us a call, 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number, 800-642-1234, toll-free. In Madison, it's 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm John Munson. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 6:47, you're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Joy Cardine this week. Here's what's coming up next hour. It's considered the most important decision a presidential candidate can make. Well, after 7, we're going to talk about potential contenders for vice president and the issues that could tip the scales. My guest will be E.J. Dionne, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a syndicated columnist for The Washington Post. That's coming up after 7. We'll handicap the vice presidential race. This hour, we're still talking about the severe weather and the heavy rains and the aftermath and what kind of economic impact that's having on the state of Wisconsin. And joining me now to talk a little bit more about the agricultural aspect of this is Donna Gilson, a spokesperson for the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I understand that some farm fields in Wisconsin are covered with up to 4 feet of water.
And, you know, probably your reporters who are out in the field covering the story know far more than I that what it looks like out there. I've actually been holed up in the State Emergency Operations Center for the past 2 days working for the state as a whole, not just agriculture. But that was one of the reports that I got yesterday from southeastern Wisconsin, was 4 feet of water over much of one farm. And one of our other people who was working in the center when was in the helicopters when the governor went out the other day, and she came back and along with all of the other damage, you know, said something to me along the lines, you know, about the amount of farm fields that were covered in water. It's certainly devastating to those farmers as it is to so many other people and other businesses in the state.
Well, I can tell you that I drove down to Madison from Superior on Sunday, and as I was getting closer to Madison, I was noticing how much standing water there was in farm fields on both sides of I-90-94. And I just got done talking with Steve Rysom, who's our reporter in La Crosse, and a lot of farm fields have been flooded out. Whether it's 4 feet or 1 feet, the crops are still underwater, and it's still a big problem. Do you have any idea what the extent of the flooding is on agricultural land in southern Wisconsin?
We don't. It's like everything else. The farmers are coping with all kinds of things, and it's just like the homeowners who aren't getting able to come up with a damage estimate or the local emergency management. It takes a while for all the damage not only to be discovered, you know, and you find more and more, or here's another field that's underwater, just to get your head around it and do a little calculating. And for farmers to apply for aid, it's a kind of a multi-step process that's a little more complex than it is for homeowners or other small businesses.
What do farmers have to do to apply for aid? I know that the governor has designated, 30 counties now as disaster areas.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as, and I understand that the FEMA people are on the ground here in Wisconsin, and when they get done, we'll be requesting a federal designation as well. What does all that mean? What do farmers have to do in order to get some help?
Well, the aid that comes through FEMA is generally when they are here, I don't want to speak for FEMA, but they usually have people with the Small Business Administration with them as well going through doing these evaluations. But the aid that results from those evaluations and that comes from FEMA and the Small Business Administration is not available to farmers. If their homes have been damaged, they qualify for FEMA funding as other homeowners would. But as far as crop losses, livestock losses, damage to their outbuildings, to erosion control structures, none of that is covered. It also all has to come from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And so they don't haven't announced exactly how they're going to handle all of that yet. The new farm bill does have some disaster provisions in it, but that also has not been ironed out yet because, you know, when you pass a law, there's always details to be hammered out. So there's some uncertainty here, but I can say pretty well that once, they need to listen and there will be announcements in their local media probably that they will need to take their damage assessments to their local Farm Service Agency offices, which is a part of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and begin the application process there. But again, that hasn't all been hammered out yet or announced, so they should pay close attention to their local media for those details.
What about, is there any assistance that comes through state government?
We do not really have any programs in the state for disaster, farm disaster assistance. It generally all comes through the federal government.
The the timing of this of this storm and the damage is particularly bad, I understand. Why is that?
Well, as Steve mentioned earlier, it's been a long, cold spring. Farmers have had a very hard time getting into the fields to cultivate and to plant. And in some cases, you know, once they were able to get in and plant, you take advantage of those couple of 70-degree days here and there that we had, then things don't like to germinate if it's still too cold and wet. And so your statement earlier that we won't have knee-high by the 4th of July corn was probably dead on, regardless of whether you have flood damage or not. And so that's what's been going on here. And you know, last summer, we had crop damage also, but the corn at least was, you know, probably 6 feet tall when the floods hit out in southwestern Wisconsin and some in southeastern, south central as well. But it was able to, in many cases, withstand the water for a few days at least, and they could salvage something from it. These are little plants that are just probably going to get washed away, actually. And along with the plants, you know, if they replant, they need to probably refertilize. They have all those inputs again too, that expense. So it's not just the length of the growing season; it's the expense of replanting.
Well, what I understand that they're even if you had planted corn, there's some farmers who are considering planting other crops that they might be able to use that would grow and give them something by the end of the growing season we have here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that you know, farmers have been throughout history and of necessity been great scramblers to try to make something out of nothing. And so I would assume that that's probably a lot of what will happen. They'll put some alternative crop into that land, and if nothing else, get something that they can feed livestock or maybe sell. If they don't have livestock themselves, sell to other farmers to feed for livestock. You know, they'll come up with something. The land's not just going to stand there idle. For one thing, you can't just leave land standing with nothing on it. You've got to plant something on it or it just blows away. So they'll do something.
Well, how much in Wisconsin? How much of our farmland is basically in cash crops, and how much? What's the split between cash crops and feed crops?
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have those figures.
Okay, well, it just seems, you know, I guess if you're primarily a cash crop farmer, you may be in a tougher spot than if you're growing something to feed your cattle.
Oh, certainly, and you know, as with any business, diversification is always a good thing, and that's one thing that Secretary Nielsen has been pushing throughout his 5-6 years as Secretary of Agriculture, is that we really need, you know, across the state, diverse agriculture. But even, you know, we've always encouraged farmers to diversify and don't put all your eggs in one basket. But, you know, some people, you're right, they are in that position. However, if you've got a large farm that you're cash cropping, it's unlikely that it's all underwater, too. So that's, yep. And we've got some, for the fourth day in a row, I saw in the paper this morning, record corn prices as a result of this flooding. So.
Well, it's an ill wind that blows no one any good. We've got a caller, Chris from Gays Mills, who wants to join us. Chris, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, John, and thank you for taking my call. I apologize that I didn't catch most of the show, but I don't have a handle on everything that's happening around here, but I do realize that there's a lot of organic agriculture going on. If I'm correct, Vernon County is now the number one organic farming county in the United States. We see soaring prices of fuel. We see soaring prices of crops in general, commodities in general, and organic as well. And last year was just, it was such a stomach punch, to put it mildly. Gays Mills is threatened to be gone. And now we look at Vernon County. You mentioned Organic Valley. I think people are anxious, to put it mildly. They're way behind already in planting. Diversification is one thing, but when you can't even get the stuff out in the field, I think a lot of people are you know, it's threatening to really lose their livelihood. I don't know if people have seen the pictures out there. It's really tough. Our infrastructure is being devastated, roads, bridges, everything. This is a real weather event. And what do they say, a 100-year storm? Well, we've had about 500-year storms since I've lived out here in 2000. I don't know what else to really add other than it's really bad, and they're predicting more rain on the way.
Yep, we got more coming in the forecast, which we'll be repeating again in just a few minutes. And Chris, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're out of time, and I want to say goodbye to my guest. Donna Gilson, thank you for taking time to give us an update this morning.
Thank you.
Donna Gilson, a spokesperson for the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, joining us this morning by phone. This program was produced by Rob Ferret and Karen Prager with on-air production by Karen Prager. If you'd like a copy of it, you can call the radio store at 800-747-7444, ask for program 611A, or go to our website, wpr.org, and you can listen to the whole thing over again. Vice Presidential Politics coming up after the news. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network.